Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 75 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we're covering something pretty topical again, looking at coronavirus and specifically how quarantine is affecting divorce rates. I mean, this is something you really wanted to talk about because it's something we wondered about to begin with. I think, oh God, how is this going to affect people being on top of each other, relationships aside, siblings, parents, children? I mean, everyone's living like sardines right now, despite the size of your house, just always being together all the time is a stress. So we were having a look at this and I actually found an article in the Financial Times, which said, there were no statistics. I really wanted to find some numbers, but I think it's too early for that. But the strain of life under lockdown sparks divorce surge in China, and more than a dozen cities in China saw a surge in divorce filings. So I think, obviously, China's where this hit hardest first. So that's where we're going to see things start, and it'll trickle into like Italy and Spain, and then here in America. But some of the things in that article were really interesting, weren't they? It was like the woman, this particular woman that was being interviewed, she just saw that like all her husband did was play video games and she was taking care of the house. She was raising the children. One of the children wet the bed and he just got up and walked out of the room and she was left to deal with it. She's preparing all the meals, everything. And I think as soon as lockdown stuff started being lifted, she filed for divorce because she just thought like, screw this. Like,
yeah, I know one of the things I mentioned the other day was that during normal times, a lot of couples spend a lot of time not together, and it's not even necessarily intentional. And I think we're perhaps quite unusual that we do spend almost all of our time outside of work together. We have a couple of hobbies and stuff, but generally we're home. But you have a lot of couples where maybe the guy will go to the pub after work every day, or just business might mean that there's travel or events, whatever, in the evenings, or if you've got children and obviously they're taking up time and you're taking them to all their activities and sports events and whatever, or one of you goes to church and the other one doesn't. And like, there's any number of reasons why one of you or both of you are out of the house and you're separate. And I think, so for us, a lot of this is not that different. We're working from home, but we've said in a previous episode that we're fortunate enough to be able to do it in separate rooms. So we see each other a bit more during the day, but in terms of when we're home and we're not working, we're very used to the other one being there. And I think this is the same as, the empty nest syndrome, where the last of the children leave home when they're grown up, and then you've got the older married couple who are on their own for the first time in 25, 30 years, potentially, since before they had kids. And now they realise, oh, we haven't actually been focusing on our relationship. All our time's been focused on the kids. You hear all the time that new married couples, like, we don't go on dates anymore, blah, 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 blah. So you just kind of, you just have whatever routine you've got, but you're not prioritising building that relationship still. And so then you have the empty nester syndrome where you're left on your own, you realise we've got nothing in common, we don't spend any time together, we don't do anything together, you're irritating me, and then end up getting divorced or just living kind of acrimoniously. And I guess it's the same thing with this, is suddenly you're spending so much more time together. And then on top of that, it's a stressful situation. So you might be thinking, well, I'm around you a lot more and that's kind of, that's hard to deal with, but also I'm stressed or you're stressed and I can't deal with your stress. So that compounds it.
Yeah, there is a lot of stress that comes with it. There's, people's jobs are being affected. I think it's getting a bit better now, but early on, finding food was difficult. Finding toilet paper, like essential things that we need were impossible to find. And that makes people frazzled.
And I think everyone needs a rock. And so, if you're the person that needs the rock and your partner isn't being it, that's not helpful.
Well, you take turns being the rock, don't you, at different parts in your relationship?
Well, some people do, some people don't. But I think if you're worried and then you've got nothing in your life to say, okay, this is stable, you will help me get through this. If you're thinking, oh my God, I don't understand, panicking, and you've got to take care of this other person because they really can't cope with it, that may make you feel worse. Some people rise to that and say, okay, this is something for me to focus on, and I'll rise to it. But other people might go, that confirms that this is all going to shit and I'm right to be panicked and stressed. And then you kind of get lost in your own thoughts.
Yeah. But I think it's important to not be a part of this statistic of relationships falling apart if it's not for the right reason. So obviously if you're like that couple in China where the woman was doing everything and realized, you know, for lack of better way of saying it, he was being useless.
Well, on the surface, he sounds like a dick, you know. But we don't know him, and it's possible that that was his way of coping. Was he's just thinking, I don't know what to do.
I think from the article, I haven't read it for like since we looked at it last week, I think, but it was more that it reinforced how
right.
I think he was always like that. Yeah. And you kind of think, like you said, some people rise to certain occasions, and you know, maybe you think like, oh, you know, we're going to be together, and he, there's no reason for him not to help me, and he doesn't have distractions of work or this or that, and maybe he really will help, and then they still don't. Like, that's a concern.
And I think it's a motivation thing. It's like some people will work, not strictly just a job, but people, if you think about work as any kind of anything, like, you know, work around the house, work with the kids, mowing the lawn, you know, it works.
Jobs.
Just getting off your ass kind of thing. Some people will do that for pride or because they feel like it's just in them to do that. And then other people do that because they have to. I've got to work because I have to. I get paid and I won't have anywhere to live if I don't. So as soon as a pandemic comes along and there's an excuse to not do things, like, oh, I will sit down and play video games. That may be the first time you're seeing that.
Yeah, maybe.
And then there's other things, like we had the comment on Instagram over the last week from one of our listeners who said that you know, their marriage may be in jeopardy because the travel restrictions. So if you're in a long distance marriage or just long distance relationship, this is obviously, and we're going to talk about this more in next week or the week after this episode, aren't we? But you know, that's obviously something a bit different.
Was that to do with like the income, that comment?
Yeah, so that comment in particular was, if I remember it right, was they're applying for the visa, and obviously the visa comes with certain income requirements and savings requirements, and now because with people being furloughed and being made redundant, the income's dropped. So it's like, does that put the visa in jeopardy? Or you'd like to think they'd say, well, you're not currently meeting the requirements. You were, that proves that you can.
And, I mean, a lot of places aren't even allowing immigration to happen right now. I mean, it's just putting a kibosh on the whole thing. Yeah, so,
you know, I think if you're in a long-distance situation, the particulars of what you're dealing with are going to be a bit different to what we're going to talk about in this episode. This is more like when you're living together. But next week or the week after, we're going to be doing an episode on dealing with unknown factors, which is going to include things like no one planned for a pandemic to appear.
But I think if you are a couple who doesn't spend much time together, and there's different reasons, like you said, it could be hobbies. I mean, we know we have friends who, you know, each half of the couple has a very different social circle, so they're just, you know, they're very social, they see their friends, but that means that they're
and I think for us, part of what's made it the way it is for us is you're an immigrant, so you haven't got like lifelong friends here. I'm sure if you did, things would be slightly different.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
but then also we're both kind of homebody people
a little bit. Yeah, well, we genuinely, if we're out and about, we're usually out and about together.
Yeah, we do like each other, which helps.
It does help, kind of. Yeah, I think, like I was starting to say, you know, don't be a part of that statistic of these relationships that fall apart because of this, if there isn't a real reason to, and if there's something you can do about it. I mean, if you are one of those couples, you know, it's one thing where, you know, Rich, what you were just saying about these couples who have had children and now they're empty nesters, you know, that can have a huge effect, and it's a chance to get to know each other again and work on things. But even if you're not empty nesters, even if you're both working from home with kids, or if you're like us and you don't have kids, or you know, whatever your situation is, this is a chance to find ways to reconnect.
Yeah, and this, what I was going to say was, you know, when I was thinking about what to say in this episode, I think I always think it's really valuable to try and remember why you got with someone. Because they're still that person. Everyone changes and stuff, but you know, they're still in there. You've still got memories. And just today, you know, we went and walked past our first flat and stuff. So you can think about some trips down memory lane. You know,
yeah, that means that's something we never do. I mean, our first apartment is only, what, 3 miles away from where we live now?
Yeah.
We lived there
6 months.
For 6 months, what, nine years ago?
2012.
Yeah. It was, you know, we moved over here, lived with Rich's mom and stepdad, and then as quickly as we could got our own place, and that was where it was. And it was this beautiful apartment, in a beautiful neighborhood overlooking like the golf course. It wasn't on the golf course, but there was a golf course in sight. Big, huge window. It was just bright, big windows, beautiful. And yeah, there's some good memories there. Our landlord was awful, so she kind of ruined it. But we had to take our dog to the vet today, and obviously social distancing, so they come down and get the dog, and we're like, well, we'll just go for a little walk. And it was nice to point out things like, oh yeah, do you remember this? Do you remember that? And, you know, just enjoy that time, really.
Yeah, and one of the things I mention quite a lot on here is how marriage can become like that attrition where it's just...
mundane.
No, not mundane, but it's like if you reach a point when you're not getting on, I think it's really easy to get to that mindset of just a fuck you mindset all the time. And you don't want, like, you don't want to give an inch and you don't want to let them win. And it just gets nasty. You know, you hear about, you know, people going through divorce and then the kids get used as weapons. And you just think, like, I just always feel like, why can't more people just think, actually, you know what? I don't hate you. I don't really know how we've got to this place, but we've got a long history together and we got together for a reason. I'm just trying to think, like, you know, neither of you necessarily deserve that. So I think if you're in this place where you're finding this difficult, I personally think a good, and okay, like, obviously it depends if you're dealing with, yeah, well, you know, they cheated on me, then that's different. But if we're just talking about you're struggling to cope, just being around each other all the time and not really getting on, and you're both at home more, like, one of the things we've noticed is that we're going through a lot more dishes. The house needs more maintenance.
Yeah, because we're here all the time.
Because we're here all the time. So, you know, if it's just kind of exposing these cracks, like, spend some time, like, figure it out. Just think, you know what, I do love you, this is why I love you, this is what my favourite things about the marriage. Okay, if you can't go to a restaurant because things are closed, like, you know, just carve out some time, have a little candlelit dinner at home and just talk and say, this is what's bothering me, you know, like, let's say that the house is getting dirtier more often and I'm dealing with it and you're playing video games. Like, just have that. Bring it out into the open.
It is hard though, and I relate. I'm finding it really hard. I think, you know, when we connect the best, it's when we go out for the day, have a day, yeah, or we go out for dinner, or, you know, we go to our favorite mall, have some lunch, see a movie, like getting out, and even if it's just a mini adventure, like something like that, you know, that's what we did when we first got together. We saw new places together. We, you know, you showed me England and that was a new experience for me. And then you came to America and I showed that to you. I think new experiences together were things that really cemented that those early days for us. So now, where all we do is stay home and cook and clean and work and clean and work and do dishes and do more dishes and then maybe a few more dishes. Like, it's hard and I can get it. And I think I've been struggling the last week or so, like, with getting a little bit aggravated. And maybe it's not all because of you, but there are certain things, like we talked about last night, like a couple just, oh, you know, it would help me if you did this or if you checked on me. I think one thing that I told you that I think men in particular really need to know, and maybe women do too, you can kind of speak from all mankind if you want, and I can speak for womankind. If you notice that your partner is feeling aggravated, being a little bit snappy, we have talked about this in a different episode, I can't remember which one, it's not really helpful to snap back or to make shitty comments about it. It's more helpful and more constructive and more conducive to say, hey, what's going on? What's causing you to feel this way? Can I help?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the hard thing is that means you're being the bigger person. And that's really hard to do sometimes, because if someone's snapping at you and you're all cramped up together in this one place, you're not going anywhere because quarantine, it's hard to be the bigger person because you're probably frustrated and fed up about things too. But someone has to just, you know, take responsibility for, hey, what's going on? Like, I know it's probably not me causing this, it's probably the pandemic, but, like, is there something I can do to help with it?
Yeah, it's important to remember, you know, on that point that, you, like, when people are snapping and getting like that, and we want to react to it, you're reacting to the symptom of what's going on. Like, you know what I mean? Not.
Yeah.
They're, like you just said, they're doing that for a reason, and it's hard to, because you just, it get, for me, like, it really gets my back up immediately, and then you've got to calm your anger down and then think, actually, why are you talking about, okay, this is why.
Yeah, it is hard.
It's hard. You know, I think something else is this just occurred to me this morning, is just have sex. Like, I think it's so good at, you know, people always talk about makeup sex and stuff, and I think it's probably the quickest way to just reconnecting people. Mm. Like, not, is, everyone knows it's not a magic pill. You can have sex and an hour later on be arguing again, but I think it's great for resetting. It makes you connect, you feel a bit more like, it allows you to talk more or just think, you know, I do love you and I do feel this and that, I'll do a bit more. You know, I think it's a great way of connecting and then starting that process. And it still takes work and it's still going to take effort, but it just puts you in a great place.
That is very true, but it's not always as easy as that, especially for women. Like, I know that if you'd been annoying me and just getting my back up for a few days and I've been really short with you and you were like, hey, you know, I'd be like, that's the last thing I want to do with you. You've been pissing me off all week.
Yeah, sure, but then maybe you would be the one that, like you just said, coming off the back of you've been acting that way because you're dealing with this and you're stressed. Maybe you'd be the one to think, okay, I'll be the one to initiate that. So then you're not responding to my initiation. It's coming from you.
Yeah, but if you're pissed off at someone, the last thing you want to do is have sex with them.
That's true, but the whole point of this episode is we're saying at some point, yeah, you're going to have to draw a line in the sand, be the person to step up and say, this marriage is important to me, I want to make it work, I love you in spite of the way I feel about you currently, you know, I love you, I don't like you, kind of thing.
I think that's dangerous, though, because I think that can make martyrs out of people, to be like, to be feeling like disappointed with something your partner's done, feeling really frustrated with them, feeling really angry, whatever your emotion is, to then be like, okay, well, you know, okay, well, I know it's really upsetting me, but I'll be the bigger one and we'll have sex.
Yeah, but you don't be a martyr about it. You don't make a big song and dance about it.
No, but people can internalize that.
If people are going to internalize that, then that's a problem in itself.
Yeah, but if you don't feel like, if you're trying to talk to your partner about something and it doesn't make a difference, you're going to internalize that because at some point there's no point in talking about it.
What are you talking about that's not making a difference?
So, like, say, for example, that couple in China.
Yeah.
All he does is play video games. She's sure as shit.
Yeah, well, fuck that
Hold
guy.
On. No. She's sure as shit. I'm not saying these specific people, but say that situation where he's not helping, he's not doing this, he's being a little bit lame, she's saying she needs help, and he's not doing it. And then it's like, okay, well, I'm going to fix this. Let's all go to bed. Let's go have sex.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying.
That's how I interpreted it.
Why?
Because that's how my brain interpreted it.
We'll go back a few steps.
You said that sex is a great way to connect. I agreed. And I said, however, if you're pissed off and annoyed with someone, the last thing you want to do sometimes is have sex.
Yeah, well,
with
don't
them.
Do it in that moment. And we're not talking about that guy who's lucky he got married in the first place, but we're talking about people who are trying to think, this is important to me. My priority is saving the marriage and reconnecting and all that comes with it. A great way to do that is to have sex. It's the physical intimacy.
But what do you do when someone feels like they can't be intimate in that way because they're so frustrated and upset about things that are happening in the marriage?
Well, I mean, is it a sexless marriage completely?
Well, I don't know. It's probably not. I mean, this is just, we're making up a scenario now.
I mean, the point I'm making is, and it's true, is that sex is a great way to connect and to put you back in a really good space.
But it's not a fix-all if there's other issues, is what I'm saying.
I didn't say it was a fix-all. And I think if you're like that guy in China, I don't want to crucify this guy. I don't know him, and we don't know how reliable his wife is as a source. But, you know, if we're using that kind of example, then, there's probably something else happening. I'm not suggesting sex is going to fix every relationship. But if you're just irritated with each other and you're finding it hard to look beyond the day-to-day irritation and you're really pissing me off and I need space, this pandemic is getting to me and all that kind of stuff, if you're just in that space, sex is brilliant. It's not gonna fix every relationship issue.
Yeah, no, and I don't think I was implying that's what you were saying, but I just think that it's more complicated than that and everyone's situation is different. I'm not talking about like a sexless marriage where things are falling apart, but you know, if you're really rubbing each other the wrong way and you're getting under each other's skin because of isolation and stuff, yeah, it sounds nice to want to go and jump under the covers. And it probably, if you can get to that point, it's going to make a big difference. But if you're so annoyed that you don't want to have sex, there probably has to be some conversations that happen first.
Maybe they do, but the whole point of this conversation is that we need to move people beyond that moment. And you're not going to move beyond that moment without saying, I need to move beyond this moment.
Yeah,
you're not going to just sit there and go, I magically am okay now.
Well, obviously not.
You're going to have to make that decision and say, okay. And like, you know, if you want to be extreme about it, there are people who don't like having sex at all. So this is not a good advice for them.
No.
But we're talking about general situations for general people. It's a good way of connecting if you're just not getting on. If you're just irritated with each other, if you can't stop arguing, you know, if you've had arguments, you know, the make-up sex cliche exists for a reason kind of thing.
Yeah. But, you know, if some couples do need to clear the air maybe before they feel ready for that or whatever, I think talking is another really good way to reconnect. And
talking can be, but then we've also done the episode where we've said about going beyond communication, and sometimes you've had enough talking and all the talking does is cause arguments.
It can,
and,
yeah.
And you can't... And we've been in this position, you know, back in that first apartment where you could say the most innocuous thing in the world and it would just be taken the wrong way. And you just kind of get to a point where you're just sick of hearing the other person's voice. Like, so talking, exactly the same as with the sex, like, it can be really good. There are situations where it isn't.
Yeah. You
know, and I think in that situation, that's when the sex can be really good, because it's like, just shut the fuck up. This will make us feel good. Then it kind of resets things and you can maybe start to talk a bit better. But I think if you're able to talk and you're able to talk in a way that doesn't feel judgmental and it's very open and stuff, then it's incredibly powerful. But you equally have to be in a position where both of you feel relaxed and confident enough to hear what the other person has to say.
Yeah, you're totally right. Excuse me. You're totally right. And actually, it might be something where one of those not jumping straight to sex, but like one of those non-verbal things to communicate, like, oh, do you know what? Like, I really love you no matter what. This is shit. This is a situation. That might be doing a job that they fucking hate around the house. It might be getting the kids out of their way for an hour. It might be making them a really nice dinner, or, you know, getting to a store to try and find, you know, their favorite snack food that's gone right now.
Yeah.
But I think that's all I was trying to say earlier.
And all that comes back to the same issue that you're going to have with sex is... See, sex is no different from the reasons you wouldn't want to do it.
Like, how do you mean,
I don't like you. I don't want to have sex with you. I don't want to do anything for you. I don't want to do anything other than argue because I don't like you. But if you're able to have sex, you will feel better afterwards.
Absolutely,
than you would.
Yeah. I've never been disagreeing with that.
On that, you know, I'm using sex, maybe it's a bit broad. It's kind of physical contact. If you're able to, if it's a step too far, then just say, look, why don't we watch a film tonight? We'll go under a blanket, we'll snuggle up. Maybe you can say, you know, I don't want to initiate sex, but I'll let you go down on me. Kind of thing, you know.
I'll let you.
Just as a first step, maybe it's just, hey, why don't you give me a massage tonight? You know, maybe that'll help.
Take a shower together.
Yeah, if you can just initiate some physical contact. And if sex maybe it will take a week to get to. But then, equally, I think if you're at that point where you can't even bring yourself to have sex with your spouse, it probably predates the quarantine.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's... I think maybe I was interpreting what you were saying a bit black and white. Like, if you're not getting along, go have sex. But I think it's what you're talking about now. Coming up behind someone when they're doing the dishes or something, hugging them around the waist, saying, hey, let's take a shower.
But what
and
I said
kind
about,
of leading it to that.
Yeah, but then what I was saying about letting you go down, it was like, if you're, say you're, as you said, you're the one who's like, I couldn't bring myself to have sex with you. I couldn't do that. So equally,
that.
You're not going to feel inclined to be the one giving oral sex. But you may say, okay, they'd probably be up for having sex. So... as a starting point, I'll let them start on me. You know, so you vary that however you want within your relationship. But the point is, it doesn't have to be like 0 to 100 straight away.
I think that's how I was interpreting what you were saying. That's how it sounded to me. And I thought that seemed a bit expecting a lot of someone who's maybe feeling unhappy in these moments. Not in general in their relationship. If you're, like you said, if you're unhappy in your relationship, that probably predates this.
Yeah.
And this current situation is exacerbating that. But it's leading in the right direction, and that's, yeah, let's take a shower, or here, take a bath, and I'll sit on the edge and give you a massage. And we all know where those things tend to lead anyway. But it's that action that softens the resolve and kind of breaks down that exterior shell if you've been hardening towards someone because you're just frustrated in general. And, you know, those are good icebreakers, doing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I definitely agree with that.
And on that note, you know... If you're feeling okay, but your partner's just really stressed and wound up and stuff, equally, like, giving them a hand, sexually, can just really, really help them relax.
Giving them a hand sexually?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Servicing them?
Yeah, service them.
Let me take you to bed.
Or just, you know, just you don't worry about me tonight, I'll take care of you. But, you know, orgasms are really powerful things.
They are. They are. And it makes everything seem a bit better.
But I think, you know, the kind of common theme what we're talking about really is you get locked in this place where it is that kind of friction of, I don't want to do this for you because you're not doing this for me. And it's just, it's just kind of put those grievances to one side, draw the line in the sand, say, okay, I will be the one. So I will cook you dinner. I will initiate this. I will give you a massage. I will say, I will please you in the bedroom. Don't worry about me tonight. You know, just take that first step to make the other person feel a little bit appreciated. They know you still love them. If there's all this worry about the pandemic and everything else, then it can take their mind off it, because, like, it's quite grounding to feel loved and stuff and taken care of, because it's just like, you know, I'm a big believer in the whole circle of control thing. You know, so if you know, you can watch the news all day and you can hear what the politicians are saying and you can see the headlines, things like, oh my God, that's terrifying and there's nothing I can do about it. And that's true, there isn't anything you can do about it, but you can control things within your household. You can control how much of the news you watch. You can control how much time you're spending together, how much effort you're putting into the relationship. You know, all that kind of stuff. That is your circle of control.
And that's a really good point, but I wanted to take a step back to something you said just a minute ago about feeling loved and taken care of. And obviously love is always important, but I think right now in the midst of this, feeling like you have someone to take care of you is huge. I mean, think about the situation we're in right now. There's things that we can't access that we need. We suddenly can't go out and do the things maybe that make us feel taken care of. For some people, that might be a hobby, maybe going to the gym. You know, a lot of people, that's how they take care of themselves, and that's good for their mental health, and that is not something they can access right now. For some people, it might be being really social and seeing all their friends all the time. That is hugely good for your mental health, and that's not accessible right now. You can have video chats and texts and FaceTime, but that only does so much. Physical touch alone is huge to feeling good and feeling taken care of. And right now that's very limited to just the people in your own four walls. And some people live alone right now and have nobody, you know, they live in their own apartment, their own house on their own, maybe a dog, maybe no pet at all. And I think it's all very unknown. And just that feeling of, oh yeah, okay, like this person will take care of me, goes a really long way and can make people feel a lot safer in all of this. I mean, this is kind of the closest I think our generation, or last few generations, probably since, you know, World War II, have felt like this is a different kind of survival than what we normally deal with. So I just want to touch on how important that is, really.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are struggling for ways to reconnect, we would want to direct you towards some guests we had recently, Tony and Lisa from One Extraordinary Marriage. So, I mean, they've got tons of resources. You want to mention a few?
I mean, they've got everything. I mean, we're big fans of theirs. So the episode we did focused on, funnily enough, this is before quarantine and everything, so it's just kind of fortuitous, I guess. But we spoke about dates you can do at home and cheap dates. So some of it does involve going out on a budget, but we also went through at-home date ideas. So as a starting off point, I think listen to that episode. It's on our website, it's on whatever you're listening to this on, and you can find that, and then implement some of that. So we spoke about our favorite dates, their favorite dates. Just I think as a starting point on that new journey of liking each other again, potentially, I think that's going to be really helpful. But then, visit their website, oneextraordinarymarriage.com, and they've got, you know, free guides for questions to ask each other, how to connect, how to improve things in the bedroom, how the sexual questions to ask each other. They've got, they also do marriage counselling with Elisa. They've got a membership program so you can talk to other people. And we're not getting any kickback for mentioning this. We're mentioning fans. This because we genuinely think it would be helpful. Their whole setup is for improving relationships, married, but, you know, just relationships in general. So a lot of free content they've got on there, and downloads and obviously emails. They've got their sex challenges and everything else. So if you are struggling, or if you think you could be either really, really deep into this and you want to come out the other side, or you could just be starting to see that you're at the beginning of what could be trouble,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the ideal time to nip it in the bud. And I think there'll be a great way to do that. Yes, that's oneextraordinarymarriage.com.
Yeah, and yeah, I think there's a lot that people can
get. I can't exactly episode, they were episode 160-something.
No, there's a lot.
That they did with us.
They mean, oh.
160-something, I think. What?
I'm just getting confused numbers to me, you know?
Yeah.
Because you said 160.
Something. They were episode 160-something of our show.
We don't have 160 episodes.
Oh, right, yeah, 60-something.
Okay, this is why I'm getting confused. I was, when you said that, I was like, wait, were we on their show? I'm really confused.
They've got like 400-something.
That's what I was just...
Yeah, sorry, it's 60... I think they were 64 or something.
We'll put a link in the show notes to the episode. But yeah, I think it'd be really sad to see marriages break down right now and divorce rates spike because people didn't nourish their marriage and take care of it, and then you get into a situation where something like this happens and it just falls apart. Because, you know, I mean, something we've always said is marriage is a lot of work, and I think anyone who has a successful marriage will say that it is a lot of work. You have to put a lot into it, and I think the problem with right now is that there's no way to hide from that. When we're busy and we're working and we're seeing people, there's excuses to not put that work in. Right now, there isn't really. I mean, some people are still working. Some people are doctors and work in the grocery stores and drugstores. And, you know, they can't stop working. But for the large majority of people who are now either out of work or working from home, you do have a lot more time together. And maybe that's something that scares people. Seeing that, oh shit, there's no excuse for me to not work on this right now. It's just easier to walk away.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people never nourished the marriage to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so this is really just exposing that. Because you can kind of think, you can go a long way just thinking, yeah, we get on, it's fine. You know, I only see you an hour a day, but those are fine. And nothing really happens otherwise. I think, you know, so it could be that you're not really not getting on at this time, but you just feel more like roommates and... like we said, you know, the cleaning and just the chores at home, and that's all life has become, and there's no romance and stuff anymore. So, you know, it's not strictly just arguments and friction and stuff. It could just be anything. Maybe you just feel a bit more apathy. And again, I think Tony and Lisa, One Extraordinary Marriage, would be a really good place to start. And equally, the episode we did with Dovid, which is episode 47.
Dovid Feldman.
Who we're going to be talking to again soon. So on that note, we're going to be talking to him next week. So if you have any questions that you'd like asked of a therapist, then let us know. Send us an email at hello@longdistancetomarriage.com, or send us a message on Instagram or Twitter or whatever. But you can get in touch and just, you know, say this is what you're dealing with and what would he do, or if you've got any questions on what you can do differently or how you can talk differently, whatever, let us know. But the episode we did previously, episode 47, was all about avoiding criticism, which I think is probably highly relevant to a lot of people now.
I just want to say before we move on, particularly to submitting questions to Dovid for next upcoming episode, any questions and from anyone always welcome, but particularly Dovid specializes, or his approach is more focused on kind of men, you know, stepping out of that stereotypical toxic masculinity kind of persona. So male listeners might have particular questions where they could get a lot out of that, or females having questions about men. Of course, any questions.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, if we go back to that couple you mentioned in China at the beginning of this, like, that woman's not going to be alone in having a partner who plays video games all the time. We hear from people about that too. So, yeah, if you're one of those people and you think, well, how would I encourage him to put down the controller and help me without criticizing, without him shutting down and everything else, like, maybe that's your question. You know, ask it. But yeah, so episode 47, you can listen to it right now. And that was what we really kind of dove into. Someone, your partner may have a lot of traits that you really find hard to deal with, and it's how do you get them to maybe change without criticizing them, you know. So we went through some examples of it, and some of it came out as, you don't actually, I can live with that. and are focused on other things and things you really can't just live with, then this is how you can approach it. So I just think that's going to be really, really important for a lot of people now with the quarantine. It's just everything's under the microscope, isn't it? And what the things you can normally just get on with now suddenly are under the microscope. Everything's bigger.
Yeah, and there's nothing else distracting you. I mean, it's one thing if you're at work all day and you come home and your partner's maybe left a mess, for example, and you just think, okay, whatever, I'll clean it up, and you're thinking about other things. But if this is something, like, we're living in a little dome right now, and it's Groundhog Day, and you can feel like every single day, like, oh, fucking socks, he leaves them right in the middle of the room, and every fucking day I'm picking up these stupid socks. And stuff like that can start to drive you mad. Part of it is you taking responsibility for acknowledging that, okay, normally it wouldn't upset me as much as it is right now, but this is a situation. And part of it is finding a way to say to your partner, like, look, can you just pick up your socks? Like, it's not that hard. And then the partner being big enough to go, okay, this isn't a criticism, you know, whatever. Yeah. It takes both people. It can't always just be one of you being the bigger person, because if you are the bigger person, you know, the other person can still react badly or in a shitty way that makes your whole gesture moot, frankly.
I think it all starts with you saying, answering the question, is this marriage important to me? Do I want to save it? Do I want to stop it getting somewhere where it needs to be saved? You know, can I turn the ship around, so to speak? If the answer to that is yes, then it's just a case of doing what needs to be done.
Yeah.
But if you've enjoyed this episode, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on whatever your favourite podcast platform is. Favourite one for us would be iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever they call it now. But it really helps us, you know, with the algorithms and helping people to find us. So we'd really appreciate if you can leave us a nice review or rating. And come and follow us on social media. You can just search From Long Distance to Marriage or Mr. Mrs. Distance. Our website is longdistancetomarriage.com.
We're also on YouTube now.
We are on YouTube now. If you search for Long Distance Marriage on there, all the podcast episodes are on there. There's nothing at the moment any fancier.
So apart from the Jordan Syatt
episode. Yeah, the episode of Jordan Syatt is an actual video. But so we're on, you can subscribe to us on YouTube. But yeah, talk to us. Let us know how you're dealing with it and what, especially if you've got any unique ways of dealing with the stress. If you've got any questions for David, you know, what would you ask a relationship therapist?
Family.
Yeah. What would you ask them? Yeah, that's what that is. And we hope this has been helpful.
Yeah, and of course, you know, if there's any other topics that aren't related to this right now or anything else that you want us to cover, we're always happy to try. Try and help. But yeah, have a good week, guys, and look forward to hearing some questions from you. Bye.